This is the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges. Sam with me as ever, it's the Cookie Man. All right.
Yeah, not too bad.
You're getting a reputation
new title.
Yeah. If you brought in more cookies again, loads. I've just had two and there's still loads left.
What can I say? Just a nice guy, aren't I?
All
nice
I've eaten guy. Today is cookies and crisps. It's been someone's birthday, so
it's Friday.
Just free stuff.
It's Friday.
Knocking around. Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
There we go then.
Yeah, thanks to you for that.
Good start to the podcast then, eh?
Yeah.
Cookies and crisps.
We should kick off with section one of the podcast. And in the news this week, of course, it's only two games left now. And three sides in the championship all tied on 87 points. It's interesting. It's fascinating. And what do you make of the situation?
Well, as a neutral, it's great to watch. At the top end of the table, I think I said last week that it's the ideal situation in that Borough slip up and Brighton and Burnley around the win, and that exactly happened. So 87 points tied with two games to go in the championship race. Obviously, Hull and Derby have kind of cemented their playoff positions, but it's anyone's game at the moment. I think you look at the top three, I'd say Burnley have got the easiest running, but you never know. And could be a realistic situation where the team finished third with 91 points, which I can't imagine that's been done before.
No, probably not. Yeah, it is going to be unlucky for the team that does finish third. I think all three teams probably do deserve to go up, and maybe there'll be some justice via the playoffs with the extension. But who do you think is the most likely to miss out? Obviously, Burnley play QPR on Monday, so they will again know what they have to do by that point. Both teams will have played, so maybe one of those teams will have already have slipped up, but we all know that Brighton and Borough face each other on the final day, so there will be, whatever happens, drop points.
Yeah, for me, I think out of the three, I'd say Borough probably to drop out more than the other two. You're looking at the likes of Burnley and the running they've got and just how they've been generally this season. Brighton have got the toughest running, but I think it's a chance for them to kind of show what they're made of, that they are potential promotion material. Two very tough games in Derby and then Borough, but it'd be fantastic if it went down to it and the Borough-Brighton game to be the decider of who gets that second spot or top. You know, you never know how it's going to work out. But for me, I think Borough, you know, fantastic side, obviously, but I think it could kick in a bit that they've played on Friday night a couple of times now, which will be starting tonight as well in that game there. I don't think they've got a fantastic record away to Birmingham. I'm not too sure. I think I saw that stat earlier. Pressure might get to them a bit, but I think for me, I can just see Burnley winning it with Brighton in second place.
Yeah, I agree. I think Middlesbrough might be the team that falters just because... All right, Brighton did earlier in the season. They had this great unbeaten run, then they lost it a bit, and now they've really got the momentum back. But I think Middlesbrough have had more slip-ups over the course of the season and probably should have gone on to win the league, really, outright. But the fact that they've made so many mistakes and haven't gone and put this advantage home and pressed it home, that I think they will. I think they'll slip up against Birmingham. I really do. I think that by the end of the weekend, Burnley and Brighton will be in those top two places, and it'll be out of Middlesbrough's hands, even though Ita Karanka's said pretty much every week, promotion's in our hands. But will it be come the final day?
I think it is. I think that's going to be, regardless of results, I think obviously you're going to be looking at stuff, factors such as goal difference. I think they're pretty similar on goal difference, you know. I think they're very, very tight on that. And
yeah, all within a couple of goals.
Yeah, exactly. So even if Brighton get the win, Borough slip up or vice versa, that game at the Riverside at the end of the season is going to be massive. And it's going to show really who's got the Premier League potential, not only in obviously winning it to go up, but they can go on the final day of the season to the team where they've literally got to win. The winner takes the promotion, and it shows, you know, the potential the team they've got there, and you know that they do deserve to get automatic.
Yeah, fascinating weekend ahead at the top of the Championship. Middlesbrough go to Birmingham tonight on Friday night, and then it's Monday for the other two to play Brighton, play Derby first, 2:30 kickoff, followed then by Burnley at Turf Moor against QPR. So we shall see how it shapes up going into the final weekend of the season. lots of things that we don't know at this stage, Tom. But one thing we do know after this week is that Paul Lambert won't be the Blackburn Rovers manager going into next season. Obviously, with his appointment, it was probably all about looking towards next season, but it seems like he's had enough.
Yeah, I think when he was first appointed, there was... Yeah, I think Blackburn fans were quite pleased with it when you looked at it on the surface. It was, considering the state they were in, it was a good appointment. And I think, you know, in the short term, it kind of picked up results. But you're looking at them now, they sit, 18th in the league, go to Rotherham tomorrow in a bit of a nothing game. I think they're both tied on points. For Paul Lambert, obviously disappointing that it couldn't work out at Blackburn. And next season, they're left in this position again where they've got to be finding a manager to take them forward. And Blackburn, there seems to have been very little progression over the last few years, particularly in the Championship.
Yeah, obviously, the thing that puzzles me about Paul Lambert is, you said at the start there, given the state that they were in, and I heard him in an interview a couple of weeks ago saying, oh, I don't want this to end up being another Villa. But surely he knew, if he did any kind of due diligence on the job that he was walking into, he would have known that Blackburn were in a real mess. They're in a lot of debt, and the Venkis run the club from India, and you don't have to read too much into the state of the club to find that out. But I don't know what he expected walking into Blackburn.
I think there's that optimism every time you do take a job, or a manager takes a job, that regardless of who they are at what club, there's still that bit of optimism in place that success will happen. I think that was it with Paul Lambert here, given the state of the club. He'd obviously experienced it at Villa and what was going on there. But for him, you go into Blackburn where, like I said, there's not been much to celebrate recently. You go in, you think that you could get a few wins, target top half, target playoffs, whatever the target was there. But it's going to be kind of like this, much like Leeds United in a way with Steve Evans, if you think that Paul Lambert at Blackburn, if he does leave, not many people are going to be looking towards the manager, but might, you know, blame the owner for it.
Would you, if Steve Evans doesn't end up staying at Leeds United, obviously there are quite a few clubs interested, but for the Venkis, looking at what he's done at Leeds United with a supportive owner, a non-supportive owner, whatever, you would probably lean towards not that supportive with Massimo Cellino, the fact that there is still no this message that he's not going to be kept on next season, and the fact that he likes to bring in his own players, they might look at Steve Evans and think he's either the right kind of guy for us because he can work in adversity and get results, as he has done at Leeds this season.
Yeah, I could see why obviously that link would be made. I think Steve Evans is quite a sought after manager coming into this summer. I think Celtic was mentioned, Peterborough has been mentioned, maybe Forest as well,
but they're all similar kind of clubs, aren't they? Forest have had their problems financially as well, similarly to Blackburn, both with foreign ownership, so maybe he is seen as that kind of guy where he's, you know, he's very brazen, he's got big shoulders, and, you know, he takes a lot of the pressure on himself, which is what you need when you know, there aren't many answers for the fans coming from upstairs. Maybe Peterborough, you know, the exception to that, the fact that it is a decent run club and the owner's heavily involved there. But yeah, maybe that's where Steve Evans is going to end up being typecast.
I can see why, you know, why maybe Steve Evans would appeal there. But you've got to look at a club like Blackburn, much like the other clubs we mentioned, like Leeds, like Forest, and most managers are going to be put off by the way the club is. So they've really got to think cleverly about how they're going to find the replacement Blackburn, and maybe look to the likes of Steve Evans, maybe... You know, much is said, but Dougie Friedman's worked in similar conditions. He's available. I think he's touting for jobs in the Championship. Just maybe not the greatest names in management, but managers who can work under similar conditions.
Yeah, but I suppose the big question for Blackburn is, where are they going to go next season? Obviously, if Paul Lambert's walking away because you would imagine he knows he's not going to get backed, he's not going to be supported in the summer, which is, you know, the only reason a manager like that would stay. It sends out a lot of negative messages. And given what has just happened down the road at Bolton, Blackburn fans must be pretty worried.
Yeah, you can see that. There's not been a win in ages there for them. I think 19th of March, that win against away to Brentford was their last win. And before that, it was the start of March. The home win against Birmingham was the last time they won at Ewood Park. There's obviously going to be the frustration there in place, and understandable. They've really not challenged all season. They're obviously not going down now, but they're down in a position that they don't want to be. you know, it could appeal to some managers. Some managers obviously would prefer to work in challenging conditions, do fancy a challenge. You know, we look at the likes of Neil Warnock at Rotherham, not saying he's going to get the Blackburn job or go for it, but managers like that, you know, you never know. And it's obviously difficult to say who would fancy taking it on, but at the end of the day, they've got to be looking to push up, even if it's slow progression over a few years. They've really got to get out of the downward spiral that they find themselves in. Well, they could well up in a Wigan type situation where they're relegated.
We mentioned Nottingham Forest a few moments ago. They've been a club, you know, that have had their own problems. But reports this week that the owner of Olympiacos has approached the club about investing.
Yeah, the 48-year-old investor he is. He's already brought a bit of success to Olympiacos. I think they're a name that most people know as one of those Champions League group stager type teams, and he's brought success there. And yeah, it's been reported that he's opened talks with the Forest owner with a view to investing in the Midlands club. So we're talking about Forest and obviously the problems that they've got there. It's a bit of positive news for a change.
Yeah, a bit of positivity for Nottingham Forest. Certainly another one of those big clubs in the Championship, just waiting for someone to get a grip of them. One of the smaller clubs in the Championship, MK Dons, Carl Robinson, has bemoaned the lack of spending by the club last summer. Is this a good idea for him? Is he going to be finally, maybe he's always linked with jobs, Carl Robinson, but potentially could this be that his last season in charge? I think he may move on should an approach come in the summer.
Yeah, young manager still, isn't he? And I suppose you've got to look at the squad that MK Dons have, and it was going to be very difficult to keep them up anyway. But in a way, you can kind of see the point he's trying to make. They relegated, confirmed last weekend, and that big loss to Brentford, particularly at home, it's disappointing for that to happen. But you've got to think they've sold the likes of Dele Alli, and he did point towards Dele Alli as a player that obviously they got significant investment for, and they haven't really used it that well. And then obviously Benik Afobe, Will Grigg as well, they've left. And you think they've not really replaced them with a similar calibre of player, obviously. Not saying that they go out and sign another Dele Alli, but you'd expect them to reinvest that money, particularly if they want to try and establish themselves as a Championship club.
Yep, not to be for the MK Dons this season. They'll have to try and work their way back towards the top end of League One to try and get in promotion next season. And finally, in this section, Noel Gallagher, of course, Manchester City fan, but he's been making some comments to Radio Yorkshire this week about Leeds United, played the First Direct Arena in the city, and we asked him, you might hear it now, what he thought.
Leeds are in the Champions League semi-final and drew the home leg 0-0, I do believe. I'm a bit ignorant of what league you're in. I'm a bit ignorant of that. Is it the Championship or the one below that? In the Championship. I don't really take much notice of. Well, I do see the odd story. There's some crazy owner and he's put his dog in charge and some shit like that. Is that right? He's one of his cats runs the youth team or something. That's what I'm hearing. But it's a shame because Leeds is one of the great institutions, you know what I mean? And I was driving up from Manchester today and seen Ellen Road, and I was kind of like, oh, you know, I kind of miss going there. I was a bit tasty in that, but it'd be great if Leeds were back in the top flight. We don't need Norwich, do you know what I mean? We don't need people like Burnley up there, you know what I mean? So it'd be great to have Leeds back, but what can you say? It was you lived the dream for a bit, but you didn't watch the pennies.
Any chance a few of those millions might buy Leeds United? You never know.
No, that would be no. I'd rather no. That'd be like putting it into a massive bucket and pouring it down the drain, wouldn't it? Buying any football club.
So there we go. That's Noel Gallagher's comments. You've heard it. what do you make of it? He's Massimo Cellino, obviously, comes up. A dog in charge, cat in charge. Of the youth team, has he got a point? But he does want Leeds back in the Premier League.
Yeah, I that bit made me chuckle. I think pretty much the entire interview did there on that bit about Leeds United. He says that he's not too sure. He's obviously, he says, you know, there he said about being, you know, a bit ignorant, what league are they, you know, are they Championship, whatever. But he said he's obviously read the news about it, and you're thinking, what a state Leeds are in if someone who's not even familiar with which league they're in is saying, oh, I've heard this, and isn't it this and that. But yeah, it was, you know, It's an interesting conversation. I did particularly like the bit, Sam, where he mentions who needs a Burnley and Norwich when you can have a Leeds United in the Premier League. I can see why. I can agree with that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not bitter about the 4 points that Burnley took off City last time in the Premier League. Made me fearful that Guardiola's City are going to get nothing.
Sean Dyche is going to Dashiola's
Dashiola's Burnley next season. We shall see two great, stylish, bold men in the dugout next season at the Etihad and Turf Moor.
Words I won't use, but all right.
We'll be back in the next section of the podcast talking about a former Burnley player. A record tribunal fee agreed this week for Mr. Danny Ings.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the 72 podcast. And just as we brought there, Tom was doing his Sean Dyche impression.
Well, I thought it was a pretty accurate impression. It was all right. I'm not going to do it now. It's on air.
I was waiting. Come on.
Maybe I'll just wedge it into the next
bit. If I win the prediction league, you have to. Season review, you have to do it. We're talking the whole show. Sean Dyche.
I might bring it into the next bit as we're talking about Danny Ings, but
all right, okay.
Ex-Burnley player. So.
Yeah, well, Burnley have got a record amount of pound notes. So when it comes to tribunals for Danny Ings, Liverpool ordered to pay £6.5 million, rising to £8 million with add-ons in compensation for their former striker. What do you make of this one? It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit surprising that it's taken now to the end of April. We're nearly at the end of this season and it happened in the summer. Obviously, everything that we all know the story there that he left Burnley, the relegate when they got relegated from the Premier League to move to Liverpool. Obviously struggled with injuries, but still got 3 goals in 8 appearances this season. So it's not bad going, considering he picked up that injury in October. Obviously a positive. I think it was his debut season as well for Burnley when they went up 11 goals in, assisted a further 4 in 35. I'd say it was a fair fee when you think about if it was a transfer, Liverpool would probably cough up that amount of money to buy Burnley. And in the words of Sean Dyche, Burnley are going to receive many, many pound notes to as a result of the tribunal fee.
Yeah, it's interesting how these things are put together. Do you think if Danny Ings had 3 years left on his contract, given some of the fees that we've seen, Jordan Rhodes going to Middlesbrough for a ridiculous amount of money, Ross McCormack, of course, went from Leeds to Middlesbrough, Leeds to Fulham, sorry, for a record amount of money, £10 million, whatever it was, the £6.5 million for a guy that scored all those goals would have been fair?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I think if Burnley had stayed up, it would have been different. I think with Burnley coming down to the Championship, obviously if the player has an opportunity to stay in the Premier League, he's going to want to take that. So I think that's why you can kind of get away with paying that tad bit less. But if Burnley had stayed up, I'd be saying, it's a bit of a steal fee, really, to sign another Premier League striker for that money. And if he had stayed injury-free, you wonder how many goals he would have gone on to score this season. It'd be interesting to see how he does next season.
Yeah, I suppose on the other side of the coin as well, you can look at injuries and things like that, and he had a big injury while he was at Burnley, which is why he only kind of came through in the final season, really, when he rose to everyone's kind of consciousness. That if he would have got an injury towards the end of last season, Burnley might not have got the kind of money for him, and Liverpool might not have come in for him, and he might have gone maybe somewhere else if he was out of contract. So you can get, there are blessings in disguise, I suppose.
Yeah, you're thinking of this fee as well, and going on transfer fees, you think Burnley have now got Andre Gray up front, who I think was a similar fee to the one that Burnley have just received at the tribunal. And you're thinking how prolific he's been. So obviously for Burnley, it's great that they've basically covered the cost of that transfer fee. And I think they'll be quite pleased that they did get a replacement in Gray when you look at Ings and how many goals he could have scored if he did stay at Burnley.
Indeed. We shall see how Danny Ings gets on next season when he faces Burnley once more in the Premier League. Burnley can add that £6.5 million to their £30 million of profit that they announced not too long ago. I wonder if that moves them up any higher in the list of profitable clubs in the UK. We'll have to check the table.
No idea.
I'll have to check the table. They're certainly towards the top of both, anyway. Next we can talk all about the Championship playoffs.
All About the Game, the 72 podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
It's part three. It's part three of the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. And Tom, you're asking the question, is this going to be the best group of teams yet in a championship playoff? We've had some decent ones before. You hop back to 2004 when Palace, West Ham, Sunderland and Ipswich were the four teams. 2013, Palace, Watford, Brighton and Leicester. But we've got one of Middlesbrough, Burnley or Brighton matching up with Hull Derby and Sheffield Wednesday, who all had really good seasons and all have excellent players.
Yeah, definitely. If you're if you look at the four teams that they're the most probable ones there, you're thinking of, like I mentioned before, a team who finished on 91 points. They've got a fantastic chance going in. But I think the difference for me this season is you're looking at those four teams and they're four teams who can win the playoffs in terms of they are, you view them as very winnable teams. You've been looking at previous years and there have been teams involved where maybe you couldn't really see them compared to the competition. You know, last year, with no disrespect to Brentford, compared to the teams they were coming up against, particularly Ipswich as well, you can't really see them going up. Whereas this season, it seems to be anyone's game in that the team who finishes sixth, which is most likely at the moment to be Sheffield Wednesday, something they can confirm on Saturday. You've been watching them play this year and they're a fantastic team. They've got a very good manager in place and all round they're very, very talented across the pitch and they're a team who can realistically win the playoffs. And even then you've got to think if Burnley, Borough, Brighton drop out, they've got to compete with Hull and Derby. Derby know the playoffs very well. Hull, very talented team, Premier League experience. It's going to be a very good competition.
Yeah, you make a good point there with the surprise teams and obviously Brentford you mentioned. But I suppose Sheffield Wednesday, probably maybe this time last year, would have been the surprise team to see them there. But given what happened with the takeover there and the early success of Carlos Carvajal and then how they went and backed the manager and you know spent a lot of money on loan players' fees and things like that, you know they have made a real go of it and thought, right, actually, we might have had a three-year plan, but we're in a good position now, so we'll go for it.
Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday, I think, obviously, the name in terms of recent years, you think, obviously, how they've kind of underachieved a bit for the size of the club, but this year it's different. You know, they are a surprise if you did look at this time last year, but you've got to look at the squad. Not that they've signed quality players in, you know, McGeady, Gary Hooper up front as well, prolific, you know, strikers who can score, but they've kind of turned around other players as well, such as, you know, Barry Bannon. If you said Barry Bannon would be a quality championship player who's scoring, seems wonder strikes every other week, you know, last year, the year before, I think people would have maybe laughed at you. And now they've kind of turned that around, combined that with good, talented players who you're paying a bit of a fee for. It's obviously going to do well, and it has done.
Yeah, Ross Wallace as well, obviously released by Burnley at the end of last season, didn't feature much in the Premier League and was, you know, a decent feature in the promotion side that went up. But he wasn't the star man, but he looks a lot fitter playing for Sheffield Wednesday and a lot more hungry as well, as tribute to Carlos Carvajal and what he's managed to do with the likes of Bannon and Wallace.
Yeah, and then you've got to look at just the depth in the squad as well. You know, the likes of Forestieri, that you can add them to it as well. They've got a good squad all round. They've got the strength all round as well to probably, you know, see off the end of the season as they get into now and hopefully for them to achieve a playoff place. And even if they don't go up Wednesday, you've got to look at it at, you know, limited championship playoff experience. You reflect back, you know, teams who have been there before have finally achieved promotion. For Wednesday in the championship, there's been very little of that experience in the playoffs, so if they don't go up this time, it'll be good for the future.
One of Middlesbrough, Burnley and Brighton will miss out. We probably count Sheffield Wednesday as the surprise package. But in terms of Hull and Derby, are you surprised that they're having to settle for a playoff place, given the fact Hull came down with, you know, keeping an experienced Premier League squad together for the most part, and the amount of money and expectation on Derby at the start of the season to be that team that would, you know, really, it would finally be their year?
Yeah, you've got to look at the teams, you know, in that top three now. We look at Burnley, a lot of people expected them to be potential championship winners. Borough, I think a lot of people expected them top six. Not necessarily sure if they expected promotion, but no one expected Brighton to be as high as they are as potential championship winners. And then you've got to look at that and then think, well, Hull and Derby have had fantastic seasons, and any other season it could well have, you know, just pushed them over the line. But this season with the top three teams there, like you mentioned, one of them's going to have to go into the playoffs on a, on 91, potentially 91 points. And if you don't win the playoffs or don't get promoted with that that amount of points, you've got to be kicking yourself and asking how. Or I think it might just be a case of being extremely unlucky in the season that you got it.
Yeah, we shall see how it all shapes up next weekend with that final game of the season. Next, we can talk transfers.
All About the Game, the 72 podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Time to talk transfers on the 72 podcast. Leeds.
Leeds
is the leading story on the summer transfer centre. One of several clubs, including Rotherham and Rangers, who are keen on Scottish attacker Greg Stewart. He plays for Dundee.
Yeah.
Fancy him at Leeds?
Well, it's exciting because we're talking about Leeds as buying players, not selling them. So this is a nice change on the transfer bit and one I'm looking forward to. And yeah, Greg Stewart from Dundee. He's been he scored 7 goals in 27 league games this season. Not really bad form for an attacker. You know, if it was a striker, I think it's different, but I think he's more of a wide player. Continuing on, he scored 15 goals in all competitions for Dundee last year. So he's had a good couple of seasons and he's earned himself a place on the shortlist for the PFA Scotland Player of the Year award. So obviously you can see it's why he's attracting interest from a few championship clubs and elsewhere.
Where do you rate Scottish football? What level is Dundee for you? Is he playing in the Championship there? Is he playing in League One? Is he playing in League Two?
I don't know. I always think like Scottish clubs should probably struggle in League One, some of them, particularly Dundee.
I agree.
But then you've got to look at the likes of Johnny Russell came from Scotland and he's been fantastic. There have been players coming over from the Scottish leagues who have adapted to football in the Championship and in the Football League, and obviously there are going to be the standout players. Leeds have kind of got that link with Scotland in terms of the Leo Irwin signing. But yeah, should be an interesting one if he does go to Leeds or elsewhere to see how he copes if he does make the move.
Yeah, we shall see on that one. Enough Leeds United for now. Brighton defender Lewis Dunk, wanted by Crystal Palace. Is this dependent on whether Brighton go up or not?
I imagine so. With obviously Brighton's position in the league so far, they won't be looking at transfers at the moment. They'll be looking at probably championship promotion, of course. But this one's caught the eye of a lot purely because of the rivalry between Palace and Brighton. It would be a bit of a turn up for the books if Palace decided to look to Brighton to sign a player. But obviously Dunk, very solid season at the back for Brighton. His good form has obviously attracted the interest. He's a very talented player. We know what he can do, and obviously I think for him he'd prefer to be playing in the Premier League with Brighton as opposed to Crystal Palace. And I think it might anger and annoy a few Brighton fans if he did make the move if they didn't go up.
I think he'll be playing Premier League football with Brighton next year. Bournemouth increasing their interest in Southend goalkeeper Daniel Bentley. Going to be interested to see what Bournemouth do in terms of their recruitment this summer. Now they are safe in the Premier League for another season, but a very good young talent. And we all know Eddie Howe is very good at nurturing those.
Bentley's been subject to transfer talk all season since last summer and since his penalty heroics in the League Two playoff final, but we all knew his quality before that, and a lot of clubs do. He's been linked with so many Premier League and Championship clubs, but Bournemouth are the latest to throw their name into the hat and register their interest. And I think for him, it will be a season where he does move. Southend obviously finishing lower mid-table League One. If a Championship or Premier League club did come in for him, I think it'd be hard for him to turn down a move. You've got to look at maybe Championship. You think in Premier League, will he get the game time? But Championship, definitely. But like you said, Eddie Howe, he may be the best manager to work for in that situation in order to keep progressing.
Mm. Lewis Cook. QPR are one of numerous clubs interested in signing. We're going back to Scotland here. Kane Hemmings.
Kane Hemmings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going back to Dundee as well. Dundee are having a clear out by the sounds of it. But QPR interested in Kane Hemmings. Signed with Dundee last summer following a spell with Barnsley, so he's got the English Football League experience there, but he's gone to Dundee. He's had, you know, a very good spell there considering his spell at Barnsley wasn't the best. I'm sure a lot of Barnsley fans will remember him, but he's gone away to Scotland, had a good season there and attracted interest from QPR and And I imagine a few other Championship clubs might come in once they see the interest.
Mm. Just briefly, let's just go back to Leeds United. I don't give you this opportunity often. But with a link like that, QPR, interested in signing Kane Hemmings, they've got a manager who's pretty much going to be there next season in Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Leeds United, you've got no idea who's going to be the head coach, manager, whatever, next season. There's no real head of recruitment. There is not much beyond the ideas of Massimo Cellino and whoever is the head coach at the time. When you see a link like that with Greg Stewart from Dundee, what do you think? Do you think that's the kind of player Steve Evans might bring in? Certainly don't seem like a Massimo Cellino-style signing. So if you are keen, if Leeds United are quite excited by Greg Stewart coming from Dundee, if they don't give Steve Evans a contract, what happens? Are you just expecting more imports from Italy?
I'm not sure. You look at the signings, obviously, this year. I think Steve Evans has had a big say in a lot of players coming from the British League, particularly Uwe Rosler as well. He obviously had an input in the likes of Dallas coming, I imagine. But I think you've got to think of Lee Owens, the one where we've signed from Scotland before, and I don't think Rosler had much say in that one by the sounds of it. It was kind of a player signed for the future, as Cellino said himself. So I think there's a link there, and you could see why. And I think Cellino obviously wants that continental style as well, where the owner, the board, whatever, they deal with the transfers, and whoever is the head coach works with the players that they've got. Obviously, they can have a bit of a say, but they basically have to work with the players that they're given. So it wouldn't surprise me if this is more of a Cellino board, off-the-pitch side of staff type signing as opposed to a Steve Evans one. But obviously, with being Scotland, you can kind of see the link there.
We shall watch the space and what happens at Leeds United, but that is enough. Enough, Tom. Stop talking about him. next, we can look ahead to the games at the weekend.
We love the Football League. The 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Now time on the podcast where we look ahead to the big games this weekend. We've already looked at the automatic promotion race in the Championship, but there's a big game in terms of the playoffs. Sheffield Wednesday looking to secure their place, definitely, but also keep the momentum up. And Cardiff City are the team that go to Hillsborough on Saturday.
Yeah, this seems to be coming in a bit of a line in recent weeks in terms of that we're getting a lot of games across the Football League, which seem to be perfectly timed for the time of the season. Not just this one, but again, we'll talk about later in Burton Gillingham, etc. this weekend. But Sheffield Wednesday, Cardiff, massive, massive game. Like I said, Wednesday can secure that playoff place, get a bit of momentum going into the playoffs. But for Cardiff, a win at Hillsborough, as hard as it sounds, that will reduce the gap to 1 point with one game to go. I think Cardiff have then got to play Birmingham and Wednesday have got Wolves. So I think Wednesday have got a bit of the easier tie there. But Cardiff with the home advantage, a win here could be huge, and you never know on the final day which way it could go, and they could maybe potentially sneak Sheffield Wednesday's spot off them.
Yeah, last chance saloon for Cardiff to try and get into the playoffs. How do you see that going mentally for both teams? Wednesday know a point will do it and they'll be there in the top six. Everything will be secure. Cardiff going to go to Hillsborough and throw everything at it, or do you expect a different game plan from them, keep it tight, maybe try and nick something?
You got to think that Cardiff, maybe there's less pressure on Cardiff. Wednesday currently hold the spot. Cardiff are literally going to go there and know that they have to win. And as much pressure put on it as that, you know, as that sounds, Sheffield Wednesday are the team that they're going after. They're the ones that have got that final playoff place, particularly being at home. There's a lot of pressure on at home. They've slipped up a bit in recent weeks, both at Hillsborough and away from home. So for them, Cardiff have just got to go relax, obviously try and limit Sheffield Wednesday's scoring chances. We know how good they are going forward. We mentioned some of the attacking players that they've got earlier on, but for Cardiff, it's just a game where they can go, know the pressure's not so much on them as their opposition, and try and get a win from it.
Going to be interesting. We're not doing that game in the predictions. Which way do you go?
As a neutral, I want it to be Cardiff, so it throws it open a bit. But Wednesday are a fantastic side, and I'd quite like to see them in the playoffs for the quality of team they've got. So it's a hard one to predict, but I think for Wednesday they'd take a point. So you know, I'd say probably a score draw, maybe a 1-1.
Yeah, I do agree Wednesday will make the playoffs more exciting than Cardiff. So I'm just going to go Wednesday to secure it with a win. Well, let's look at those other two games in the automatic promotion race just a bit more. Birmingham host Middlesbrough, which is tonight, Friday, as we're recording this. And then Brighton Derby ahead of Burnley QPR on Sunday. Let's do them both together. Do you think either will slip up?
I think maybe more Middlesbrough than Brighton. Middlesbrough have obviously got to travel on the road. Brighton, Derby, not easy opposition.
That's what I was going to say, even though it's a tough run-in for Brighton. Yeah. Derby and then Middlesbrough.
I think, obviously, their form over the last five games, you know, have been fantastic. Brighton, I think 15 points out of 15 for them. Bit of confidence going in. Obviously, a difficult game for Derby last week against Wednesday. A draw, but it was at home. They've now got to travel to Brighton. Brighton can play with that bit of confidence, know that they're in good form. They're at home. They're out of the top two at the moment, so they've kind of, it's a bit more relaxed for them. Whereas Borough, they've got to go to Birmingham, where I think I said before they've not typically done that well there, and their recent games, two slip ups, two draws. It's been a bit of hit and miss, and you just never know with Birmingham which side's going to turn up.
Go on, give us a prediction on the Birmingham Borough game. That's not in our prediction league.
I'd say another draw here. I think Birmingham would be, you know, Middlesbrough are going to have to really kind of go for it, but I think Birmingham could shut up shop a bit. They've not got much to play for. Obviously, they'll want the 3 points, but you never know with Gary Rout. I've watched Leeds play Birmingham where Leeds have played exactly into their hands in that they've let them attack and they've caught them on the counter. And it could well happen again tonight, obviously. Much like Wednesday, we know the attack that Middlesbrough possess, but all round they've got a fantastic team. So it's going to be a difficult one, but a draw for me seems a very, very realistic result.
And let's not leave Burnley out of this. They host QPR on Monday. Give us your prediction of that. Are Burnley going to see it through? Do you see them slipping up? Do you think it's going to be another draw?
I think this is going to be a straightforward win for Burnley. QPR, they've been okay in recent weeks. You know, when Hasselbaink first came in, there was obviously a few slip-ups. They weren't performing as well as they'd hoped, but they've kind of sorted that out now and pushed themselves a bit up the table. But for Burnley, at home, at Turf Moor, that win last week away to Preston, they've been in good form. The only drop points, I think, have been against Borough and Cardiff, two teams who are up there, but they've beat the teams, you know, that they've played around that. So for me, I can't see past a Burnley win.
Let's look into League One. Burton against Gillingham. Talk us through this game.
Burton Gillingham, too. It's a massive game. Once again, I mentioned it a bit when we were talking about Wednesday Cardiff, but in terms of what both teams want, Burton automatic, Gillingham trying to get into the playoff places, and it's really going to be a difficult game for Gillingham given the circumstances that Barnsley have got a fairly straightforward game where they could seal playoffs.
Yeah, that's against Colchester, relegated.
Yeah, so not going to say it's going to be a walkover, but Colchester, they're already down. They've not got much to play for, so you can see Barnsley nicking that one. For Gillingham, that really puts the pressure on to go to Burton and get something, and it'll have to be a win. And then I think anything less than a win will really kind of severely damage their playoff hopes. And Burton, 3 points clear of Walsall, but with two games to go, they'll be wanting to make sure they really seal that automatic spot. And home, you know, a home game, the final home game of the season, bit of motivation there.
Yeah, most definitely. We're going to do that in our prediction league. So we shall touch on Oxford against Carlisle. Talk us through this game.
Yeah, Oxford travelling the short distance up to Carlisle for their game. A game which can see their automatic promotion into League One, depending on Bristol Rovers' result. But it obviously puts massive pressure on Bristol Rovers and Plymouth as well, with the mathematical thing there. Bit of pressure on there. So Oxford will be looking to go there, get a win, and hopefully can secure promotion back to or into League One. Accrington a point ahead of them as well. So obviously it could be all changed. You never know. And I did see on Twitter, we did tweet this out about the Oxford fan. I don't know if you saw it.
No,
Sam.
Go on.
He couldn't get the time off for their home game next week. So he quit his job obviously see a game that could see him promoted, and then he couldn't get tickets.
Surely someone can sort him out.
Someone's got to sort him out, isn't they? But that is very, very, very... I don't know whether it's...
What was his job?
I have no idea, but you can't, I don't know. He's obviously serious about Oxford United. He's obviously got his priorities in order in terms of football.
I know we say we won't talk about Leeds again. But let's set the scene. It's the 30th of April, 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Leeds, second place. They could still win the championship. A win on Saturday will secure automatic promotion. It could also see them go top of the table.
What's with the voice?
You really want to go. You're desperate. You want to see your team promoted for the first time ever back to the Premier League.
And yeah, I can relate to him. I can relate to him. But
yeah, you're quitting. Yeah. You're quitting. You're throwing the towel.
Throwing the towel, but I'd say I'd obviously give you the similar situation at Burnley, but there we are. That's actually happening right now as they sit top of the championship.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But they're playing a bank holiday Monday, so it's fine.
All right.
Got a day off.
How do you know Leeds won't be playing on a bank holiday Monday? How do you know Leeds wouldn't be a late kickoff on a Sunday evening?
With Leeds, yeah. They're never going to play on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, are they? If they're with a chance of going up.
So it'd be fine.
Yeah, all right.
No need to even think about it.
Tom's still in a job. We shall. He wouldn't be in a job if he was a professional predictor. I think that's fair to say. We shall move on to the prediction league next.
All About the Game, the 72 podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom, joined as ever by Tom.
Hello.
Mr. Tom Feeney, all right?
I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. You suffered some heartache this week, I believe.
Yes, well, it's probably heartache that's going to happen as well with Guiseley, but the less said about that, the better.
Mm. So you're not are you relegated or
no, not Saturday? Yet, not yet. We've just got to win and hope
everybody else in the world loses.
Yeah, a couple of things go our way.
Guiseley can get relegated then.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Glad we got Guiseley getting relegated from the National League.
Yeah, we'll just move on. We'll look at the table. Well, actually, we don't want to look at the prediction table as well for myself. But yeah, just move on.
Yeah, most of the teams that we're going to be talking about in this section are in the race for promotion, so not to just rub it in even more. But also, I think it's fair to say that if we did have relegation, and we might introduce it, that you would be the Guiseley of the Prediction League because you remain bottom representing Radio Yorkshire for 90% of the weeks we've done this podcast. You have 23 points in the table. Tom Carnduff, you now have 30 points. And still with a 9-point lead, the Northampton Town of this prediction league, well clear at the top, is me. Can I call myself the champion yet?
Not yet.
2 weeks to go.
Two rounds to go. So what's that? We've got, if we don't have any double points weeks, 3 for correct score, so that's 9. Still 18 points to play for.
I mean, I could still win it.
I've just worked out we've so far played for 171 points. So
you
I would
could
be.
Just
I,
win
I,
it.
I might. Maybe not so much Northampton. Maybe I don't know.
Still top. Whatever the whatever the amount of points were available, I'm still well clear at the top. So let's crack on with the final. The three games we can look at this week are Burton against Gillingham, Rotherham against Blackburn. Not sure why you picked that one. And Brighton against Derby. We'll start with Burton against Gillingham and start with Tom Feeney.
Yeah, good game this. And I think this will be the game where Burton Albion just regain that momentum. It's, you know, obviously such a huge one. Wigan have basically won the league now and it's all about second place. And I think it is Burton's to lose. And I can't see them losing this one. I'm saying Burton 2, Gillingham 0.
Oh,
that's
anguish.
What I was going to go for.
Oh, but so what do you do now? What do you do?
I can't be accused of plagiarism or copying. But I still, we obviously predicted it. I think Burton, particularly at home, going to be wanting to seal that top two finish. So I'll say Burton 2, Gillingham 1.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, I think. And I think Barnsley might slip up as well and it go down to the final day at that sixth spot. I think Colchester will have a bit of that relegation remorse and actually play well and get a result. Rotherham against Blackburn is the next game. Tom Carnduff, why have you picked this game? And what's your prediction? Because both sides have got nothing to play for at all.
Yeah, but they're next to each other in the league. Pretty much same points, pretty much same form. So it's going to be a very difficult one to predict. I've tactically thought it out.
Between Rotherham, who are on great form, and Blackburn are in terrible form? Well, they've survived.
Yeah, so Blackburn.
It's just look at the form.
It's draw galore between these two, and that's why I'm just gonna. I won't predict it in terms of. I won't preview it because of how bad it is. So I'm gonna say draws carry on, and it's gonna be 1-1.
Can I just add, Blackburn have not won in 7 games. Rotherham have been unbeaten for. So pretty much since Warnock came in.
That's fine. They can carry on being unbeaten with a draw. Blackburn can carry on without a win with a draw.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm confused. Look, you know what? I look at this. Blackburn obviously dealt the news that Paul Lambert's leaving at the end of the season, and that's for a reason, because it's not been good enough. Rotherham, fantastic run of form, and that's going to continue. We're saying Rotherham 4, Blackburn now.
Oh, what? I was going to go for a big scoreline. I'm going to go 5-1 to Rotherham.
Why is everyone?
Because they're much better than Blackburn.
Everyone is staring at me while giving their predictions.
Who's listening to this?
Come on, Blackburn.
He's just staring blankly into a space.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see. Come what? Oh, I don't know why I looked at my watch. Come 5 p.m. tomorrow when it's finished 1-1. I'll be celebrating. Well, I don't know. I'll be at Leeds game tomorrow, so I might not be celebrating. But who knows?
Okay. Tom Carnduff has already predicted that Middlesbrough will slip up with a draw against Birmingham. Burnley will routinely beat QPR. So that leaves us with Brighton against Derby in the race for automatic promotion. What are your thoughts? A tough game for Brighton.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think with Brighton, they will get this one just over the line. I'm going to say this will be 1-0. It'll be a scrappy game, a really edgy game. But I think this is what will show Brighton are good enough to be in the Premier League next season. And I think this to me, will be the defining game for Brighton. They will get the win because I think Burnley could still slip up against QPR. I'll be honest now. I think there's a lot of pressure on Jimmy Floyd-Hasselbaink at the minute with what's happened, but I think this will be a 1-0 win for Brighton.
I've heard little complaints about this one, so I guess this is all right to go in the predictions.
Yeah, this is
so,
fine, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, okay, I'll go for this.
You've
one. You've
redeemed yourself.
Thank you, thanks. I've spoke about it already, and I think Brighton can keep up the pressure on the top two and that. Obviously the race for automatic there, so I think they can edge it, and I think there'll be a few goals in it, much like Derby's game against Sheffield Wednesday, in terms of it was quite open and attacking. So I'll say 2-1 to Brighton.
Interesting. I am going to go for a draw as well. Just feel Birmingham and Borough will draw. Did I say that earlier? I think I did. And Brighton and Derby will draw, and that'll leave Burnley
winning 8-0.
No, we'll take the 1-0. That's fine.
All right.
But you'll leave Burnley promoted, pretty much.
Well, you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened, but...
In fact, no. Yeah.
They would be pretty well.
Yeah, they would.
Stranger things have happened, you never know. Could get docked points.
You'd love that, wouldn't you? You'd love it. I'm going to go for a draw, just to be different. So I'm going to go for 1-1. In that game.
Fair enough.
Tom Feeney, you feeling confident this week?
About my predictions, I'm going to say yes. I still think I can win this.
See if you can predict how many points you'll score in the next week.
Well, to be honest, zero is quite an easy total. I'll go with that, and then hopefully I'll have my 9 points.
I'm going for 4 for me.
I'd say 9. I feel confident because then I can close that 9-point gap on you, Sam. And much like Burnley, you'll slip up, and then I'll be a bit of a Brighton catch up, overtake, and win it on the last week of the season.
Yeah, that's all we've got time for on today's podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with the final prediction league of the season. I know you're all going to miss it during the close season, so we'll make it a special one next week. We might have to go for some kind of big permutation next week, some double, triple, quadruple points, just to make it exciting on the final day.
Maybe.
Definitely.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.